Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Q3 2022 Tenaris Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Giovanni Sardagna. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Gigi, and welcome to Tenaris 2022 third quarter conference call. Before we start, I would like to remind you that we will be discussing forward-looking information in the call and that our actual results may vary from those expressed or implied during this call. With me on the call today are Paolo Rocca, our Chairman and CEO, Alicia Mondolo, our Chief Financial Officer, Guillermo Vogel, Vice Chairman and member of our Board of Directors, Germán Curá, Vice Chairman and member of our Board of Directors, Gabriel Podskubka, President of our Eastern Hemisphere Operation, and Luca Zanotti, President of our U.S. Operations. Before passing over the call to Paolo for his opening remarks, I would like to briefly comment our quarterly results. Our sales in the third quarter of 2022 reached almost $3 billion, up 70% compared to those of the previous year and 6% sequentially, mainly led by further pricing gains, which more than offset lower shipments, which were affected by lower deliveries to pipeline projects and seasonal factors. Average selling prices in our tubes operating segment increased 54% compared to the corresponding quarter of 2021 and 12% sequentially. Our EBITDA was up 17% sequentially to $946 million, while our EBITDA margin was up at around 32% as higher prices more than offset increases in energy and raw material costs. Our quarterly net income of $606 million was slightly down sequentially as it was affected by non-operating items which impacted our results from our equity participation in Ternium and Usiminas and in our financial expenses. Cash generated by operating activities during the quarter was $242 million. Our free cash flow for the quarter was $113 million after capital expenditure of $129 million, while our net cash position at the end of the quarter increased to $700 million. Our board of directors approved the payment of an interim dividend of $0.17 per share or $0.34 per ADR to be paid on November 23rd. The interim dividend is up 30% compared to the interim dividend we paid last year. Now, I will ask Paolo to say a few words before we open the call to questions.
Thank you, Giovanni, and good morning to all of you. At the end of September, we celebrated Tenaris' 20th anniversary on the New York Stock Exchange by ringing the closing bell. Following day, we held an investor day where we presented our view that an increase in investment will be needed in energy and that all sources will be needed to meet the growing demand for energy that will accompany population and GDP growth in the long run. This includes investment in oil and gas, which in recent year has fallen behind what is required to maintain production in a sector that still account for the majority of primary energy demand. We highlighted the transformation that Tenaris has made over the past 20 years, and we have grown to become a company that is uniquely positioned to service the tubular need of our sector globally in the years ahead, and how, in the current environment, we are reaching record levels in our financial results. Our third quarter results reflected the sales and margin improvements that we have shown over the previous 18 months with an EBITDA of $946 million and a margin above 30%. We are confident that we can continue to build on these results in the quarter ahead. Last week, the International Trade Commission in the United States determined that OCTG import from certain countries, including Argentina and Mexico, have injured the domestic industry. As the largest producer an investor in the domestic industry, we find it difficult to understand these findings, which contradicts the evidence that domestic OCTG prices are at their highest level, ever level, and that domestic producers are showing record results for their tubular businesses. That said, Tenaris continue to be strongly positioned to serve the growing needs of the U.S. oil and gas industry and to improve the competitiveness of our Rig Direct service model. More than 80% of our supply of casing and tubing to the U.S. market is being met from domestic production and is being complemented by import from our global industrial system. The ITC ruling and the anti-dumping duties will not substantially change this situation. However, we are already moving rapidly to ramp up our domestic production, and we will invest further in expanding our production capacity and strengthening our Rig Direct service model. As well as the service we provide through Rig Direct, our U.S. customers appreciate the new line of Wedge Series 400 connections that we develop for use in production casing in long horizontal wells. Today, a majority of these customers have standardized on the use of these connections in the production strings for their shale operations. In September, I visited Canada, where we inaugurated our new welded pipeline facility at Sault Ste. Marie, in the presence of the Honorable Mary Inge, the Canadian Minister of Trade. This will strengthen our competitiveness in the Canadian market and the service we provide to our customer in a market where Tenaris has opportunities for further growth. During August, we renewed our long-term framework agreement with NEI for 5 years, covering their OCTG requirement across 20 countries and supporting their drilling and pipeline operations in further 10 countries around the world. NEI will play an important role in addressing the European energy crisis, and this partnership is a very valuable one for Tenaris. And our position in deep water project in Sub-Saharan Africa, pipelines and drilling operation in the Middle East and in the Mediterranean. Also, it will be important for the newly emerging CCS development, like HyNet in the UK, where we will be supplying the injection well with specially tested materials. Over the next year, we expect the Middle East and the deep offshore will be areas that will drive further growth in sales. The Middle East, the Emirates has announced an acceleration and extension of its oil and gas production capacity expansion plans. Tenaris is working closely with ADNOC under our long-term agreement, where we are providing 50% of their OCTG requirements with Rig Direct services and are investing in a local premium trading facility, which will be beginning operation next year. Saudi Aramco and Qatar Gas, where we also have long-term supply agreement in place, also have plans to increase their drilling activity. In the third quarter, we increased the deliveries of casing and blue dock connector to ExxonMobil deep water operation in Guyana. In the following quarters, we expect to increase sales for a number of deep water operations in the Gulf of Mexico, in Brazil, in Sub-Saharan Africa, and in Oceania. We have established a strong competitive positioning in the deep water market based on the quality and reliability of our extensive range of product and our ability to serve customers in remote and complex environment. In Argentina, we have begun shipment for the Néstor Kirchner pipeline. This and other pipeline infrastructure investment are moving forward. There is a growing consensus around the importance for the country of realizing the potential of Vaca Muerta shale development. Even in an environment of high geopolitical and macroeconomic risk and slowing global economic growth, Tenaris is well prepared to build on the leading position it has established over the years in the energy market. At the same time, we continue to invest in our industrial system to reduce production bottleneck, improve operational efficiency and safety, and to reduce carbon emission and the environmental impact of our operation. We are ready now to take any question you may have.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 11 on your telephone. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from the line of Marc Bianchi from Cowen.
Hey, thank you. I think you addressed this, Paolo, but I just want to be sure. The trade case, as you move forward, do you need to increase your imports for any reason? I know you've sort of repositioned the imports in response to the trade case, but I'm just wondering if some of that might be temporary and you can only do that for so long.
Thank you, Mark, for your question. Well, in the first place, we will commit to raise the level of production in our facilities in the United States. So we will step up our effort to hire people, which is an important constraint today, because we have still capacity that we cannot raise. And second, we will launch investment that will allow the bottleneck part of our industrial system. And then, as I say in my remark, we will rely on import from different sources to complement the product or the specific situation in which we may need support from import to the local capacity. We think we have no problem in doing this from different sources.
Okay, great. Thank you. The other question I had relates to the welded volumes, which grew significantly again for the second quarter in a row. I'm curious what your outlook is for welded versus seamless going forward and what the impact may be to margins, if any.
Well, you see the welded, our welded production and sale to go up. This is basically driven by the pipelines in South America and also in the Middle East. In the case of Argentina, we started the delivering of the Néstor Kirchner pipelines. This is part of what we see in our increase in the welded component. And during the coming quarters, we will deliver a larger volume of this. I think that this will have only marginal impact. It's true that we may have some lower margin on some of these projects. It depends from the project, but will not be a very significant impact on our margin.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. One moment for our next question. Our next question comes from the line of Arun Jayaram from JP Morgan.
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to see if you could, you know, maybe first start with the international market. And I'd be interested to see in the U.S., I think you mentioned 80% or a lot of your volumes today are coming through Rig Direct. How about internationally? How much of your order flow comes from Rig Direct? And is there the potential to shift more of your international customers, I think you're doing this in Latin America, towards, you know, some of the PipeLogix indices that, you know, some of your North American, I think Latin American customers are on?
Thank you, Roma. In general, we can say that globally, worldwide, our Rig Direct sales are in the range of 60% of our OCTG sales. This is something somewhat higher in the United States, is lower in the international market. But I will ask to Gabriel to give some view of the area in which we are stronger on Rig Direct, and also on the issue on prices, to which extent the international prices are following or coping some of the trend of the pipe logic.
Okay, thank you, Paolo. Good morning, Arun. Regarding the Rig Direct, as Paolo was saying, this is a global service capability that we have deployed in Latin America and North America, but it's also have gained momentum over the years in the international market. Today, we are serving the majority of our customers in the North Sea and the Rig Direct. We have also have in continental Europe established operations where Rig Direct is pretty much our standard. And as you know very well, we have introduced also in the Middle East another key area of the Eastern Hemisphere, pioneering the Rig Direct in Abu Dhabi, supporting ADNOC 50% of the requirements of OCTG of ADNOC are serviced by Tenaris with a service center, state-of-the-art service center in Abu Dhabi. This is a practice that we expect to continue in the region. This is, in a way, a showroom for the region because there are clear advantages on availability, cash flow, and service level for the operators. This is also a practice that has been extended in some pockets in Africa, in Ghana, for example, in Indonesia, in Australia. So this is a practice that a different level of NOCs and IOCs have bringing on momentum and bringing, let's say, the synchronization of the manufacturing capabilities with the rigs consumption. Regarding the point of pricing, Paolo, in the international market, we are seeing a positive trend in pricing. Clearly, in the last few quarters, the pricing have moving up, trying to offset the cost increases. But I think now we are at a different stage where the increase in demand is creating another positive dynamic on pricing. Lead times are getting longer. Customers, as they are projecting the new demand on FIDs on offshore, especially and complex projects in the Middle East, are raising their awareness on material availability to be able to execute their projects. This is particularly noticeable in premium connections, high alloys, and deep water pipelines as well. So we are seeing a positive momentum in terms of pricing, and this will become very visible towards as we progress into 2023.
Great. Just my follow-up would be we were at Schlumberger's Analyst Day yesterday, and they highlighted how they're seeing an inflection point in the deep water in Middle East, just as you're mentioning this morning. I was wondering if you could talk about deep water offshore. You posted almost a 32% EBITDA margin in 3Q. You highlighted some opportunities in Qatar, Guyana, Brazil. And so one of the things we're thinking about in terms of the model, as you see a higher mix of deep water offshore, do you think this would be accretive to your margin profile on a go-forward basis?
To some extent, yes. As I mentioned, we expect that in the coming quarter we will continue to increase our sales, and to some extent also slightly the margin. Partially this is driven also by the more complex project, and for sure the deep water project that you mentioned are projects in which the demand for material rely on our capacity of supply. We have a very differentiated position for this project, and so as you were saying, this is contributing positively to our margin.
Great, thanks a lot.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 11 on your telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Stephen Gengaro from Stifel.
Thanks. Good morning. Good afternoon, everybody. So two things for me. The first is more of a just your perspective and curiosity on this. I mean, the trade case, it seems like OCTG prices are awfully strong and there's supply demand's tight, and we were surprised by the outcome. I mean, how do you think about the outcome there, and does that change your sort of thought process on just sort of how you run the U.S. business going forward?
Thank you, Stephen. Well, I think we need to react, adjust to the conclusion of the trade case. And I will say before, we will step up our production level in the U.S. And this is something that we could do by concentrating on hiring of people and using of our capacity, but also on the investment in the bottleneck. On this, for a more specific comment, I will ask to Luca Zanotti to give additional comment, please. Luca.
Okay. As you know, because we have been saying this for quite some time already, we were already engaged in a ramp-up process, and obviously, on the wake of the anti-dumping decision, we're going to accelerate on this. We still have capacity that is ready to come online. The only thing that we are missing is people, but the plants are actually prepared to come back. So we're going to accelerate on that side, and we have significant capacity that can be added. And at the same time, as Paolo was mentioning, we are also looking at additional investment that could strengthen our industrial footprint in the area in which we still experience bottleneck. With this said, I believe that we are positioned to be able to follow and accompany the growth of the domestic industry that we're still seeing going forward in 2023.
Yeah, I think this is important. We are positioning ourselves, and we will adjust to be able to accompany the growing demand from our client in the United States.
So just so that I want to make sure I completely understand, the duties you've been paying, you said the press release, since early May. So your quarter reflects the impact of those duties already, right? So, is that a true statement that your margins, which are quite strong in the quarter, already reflect the impact of the duties you're paying? And so theoretically, that could even get your margins could actually get a little better as you sort of work through some of the issues with U.S. production to offset maybe some of the cost increases. Am I thinking about that right?
You're right. I mean, we were paying duty since the establishment of preliminary duty in May, and this is embedded in our cost of goods sold up to now, and we continue to be embedded in our cost of goods sold in the coming quarter, because to some extent, in our overall complementing effort to the effort to complement from import our domestic production, we will also rely on capacity coming from the country affected by the anti-dumping duty.
Great. Now, thank you for the details.
Thank you. As a reminder to ask a question, you will need to press *11 on your telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Alessandro Pozzi from Mediobanca.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on Brazil. I think that's probably one of the few regions in South America where maybe you're not as strong as the competition there. And I was wondering if you can use the the ruling, the anti-dumping ruling, to be a bit more aggressive in Brazil, and going after higher market share? And overall, if you can maybe comment about strategy in Brazil, given that the number of offshore development that will be sanctioned over the next few quarters. The second question is on working capital. We've seen quite a big increase in Q3. Is that just function of the higher prices, or maybe if you can give us more color if there is any items that have pushed the build in working capital in Q3? And last question, if I may, just on offshore revenues, deepwater revenues, can you tell us maybe where we are and where you expect to go next year as a percentage of the group revenues? Thank you.
Thank you, Alessandro. The first question concerning Brazil. Well, Brazil, you know, our contract are the tender are launched for covering the demand of long-term time, a long-time frame, no, for Petrobras mainly. We have a strong position in the range of 50%, considering casing and conductor in sharing this contract. It's a solid position. It's not something that will change in the short term. We reached this position and we will basically deliver on this. There is not so much we can do and not something that we intend to do in other short-term demand that is, by the way, very reduced in the case of Brazil. In the question of working capital, it's true, our working capital increased in the third Q. This is driven by increase in the inventory in our stock and increase in receivable. Now, costs are going up, prices are going up, and our volume is growing. We expect that also in the fourth Q, our overall sales will go up in the range of 20%. So we need to build up the inventory needed to support this increase in sales. In the next quarter also, there will be an increase in the working capital, but this time mainly due to trade receivable, because it's increasing the volume of sales, it's increasing in higher price and higher volume. And so we will have to increase our receivable while the inventories will stabilize much more. This is the trend we expect for the working capital increase. On the last, I don't think we will disclose for competitive reason the share that this project may have in our sales. But I can tell you they are very relevant for our overall business worldwide. When you look at the offshore, the shallow offshore, and the deep offshore, with different competitive environment in the two segments.
Okay, thank you. You mentioned on the working capital, you expect a substantial increase in sales even in the first half of next year?
I was mentioning the increase in sales, the 20% I mentioned is in the fourth quarter of 2022, and I'm saying that then also in the next quarter, in the first quarter of 2023, there will be some increase, but will be the single digit range.
In Q1 and Q2 of next year.
Well, you know, in Q1, this is what we can evaluate. Then when you go on a longer time, I mean, many things could happen. There is a lot of uncertainty worldwide and from different point of view.
All right. Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Giovanni Sardagna for closing remarks.
Well, thank you, Gigi, and thank you all for joining us. We look forward in seeing you soon. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.